thank you again for downloading the Cranach and Man podcast. This is Josh, your host today in this interview, as I have a really entertaining conversation with Bart over in Wales. And he has his own YouTube channel, and that's how I sort of discovered him. The YouTube channel is called Wrymouth Studios, and I'll leave a link, of course, to everything that we talk and discuss about in this interview in the show notes of this podcast, so you can go and check it out yourself. And we talk about, you know, Bart's early footsteps into tabletop wargaming, like how he discovered miniatures and this thing called wargaming, and how that led him to discover footsore miniatures and the Baron's War, and his passions behind that, and why he decided to make this YouTube channel. So I hope you find this conversation entertaining as you do your painting and hobbying this week, whatever it might be, your old hammer, new hammer, miniatures. It doesn't really matter. We're all encompassing a great hobby that we have here that we can share with others. So guys, look, take care this week. Enjoy your hobby. Hope you get some games in. Roll those sixes, and I'll see you again next time. Okay, enjoy the interview. Yeah, so Bart, thanks very much for joining the Cranach and Man podcast today. I really appreciate you staying up a little bit later than normal in the UK there. Now, are you in Wales? Is that right?
I'm in Wales, yes.
Right.
I live in Caerphilly, which is very close to Cardiff. We have a beautiful castle, I think the second biggest in Britain, I don't know, a few meters away, 100 meters away or so. So it's brilliant.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's awesome. Because I see a lot of photographs on, well, I don't really visit it very much, the Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, from my good friend Owen Staten. He lives, well, he's obviously Welsh and lives in Wales. And he's always, you know, entertaining us with lots of beautiful photographs of scenery there in Wales. Looks like a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place. I'm in love with it for sure.
How did you actually make your way to Wales? What was the journey like? How did you get connected there? Because obviously you're not from Wales originally.
No. I was born in Poland, and I left Poland in 2005 for adventure. I wanted to travel the world and photograph the world. That was my aim, and I did that for the first 2 years. I worked in Wales, then just travel a little, and then I found my now wife. Before that, I started to study photography at University of Wales Newport, documentary photography, and on second year I met my wife. Well, now wife. And yeah, I just stayed. Family, children, everything. You know what I mean? It started as an adventure and became very kind of family orientated stay.
Right. Okay. That's
interesting. Like home in here.
Yeah. It's a bit like my journey to Japan, kind of the same thing. You know, got here, it's an adventure. Yeah. Got married and had children and, you know, settled down and never went back to Australia, basically. So that's great, mate. Excellent.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh, I thought you was originally from the UK.
No, I've got a very Aussie accent.
Well, you know, I don't recognize the accent that well. I can tell you a Scottish. I can tell you that this person is Scottish and this person is Welsh, but you know, the rest, you know, it's still beyond me.
Yeah, I know, mate. I know. Yeah, I've got a very very. Even though I don't consider myself to have an Aussie accent, but when I listen back to myself on podcasts or whatever, I can certainly hear it in my voice. It's just one of those.
I understand things. That. For a long time, I didn't hear Polishness in my accent at all. And now when I hear it, I'm just saying that thing will never go away.
Exactly. That's good, mate. Okay. So now I discovered you through your YouTube channel. And I think by chance, the algorithm gods popped them up on my feed, and what was through a Facebook group or whatever. Mm. Because you guys interviewed Andy Hobday and Paul, yes, Hicks, so from Footsore Miniatures, yeah.
Yes. I actually interviewed Paul Hicks in March last year. And that was initially on my other kind of more photography related channel, where I speak when I speak where I speak with people whose stuff I enjoy, and the first two speakers were photographers, like my childhood well, my first photographic hero, Joseph Rodriguez, and a guy who actually helped me to understand how I want to photograph was there. So that was I asked Paul to take part in that. And recently, when we started to do stuff with Mark Vance, the rules with Mark Vance for Baron's War, I was like, okay, let's post it here for the new audience, the audience that actually gonna, comes to the channel for stuff like this. So I was like, okay, let's put that archival, let's breathe new life in that archival material, basically.
Right, excellent.
And with Andy, we tried to talk for a good year, because I spoke with Paul in March, and I'm pretty sure that I asked Andy back then to talk about it. So I was very happy that we finally managed during the Christmas break.
Yeah, I really enjoyed both of those interviews. And then I quickly stole Paul to get another interview out of him for the Crown of Command
That's
recently.
brilliant.
Yeah,
I
he was
didn't
really,
know
really
that.
nice guy. And not only is he this nice guy to talk to, but we sort of reconnected afterwards. And I said, "Hey, I'm sitting here working. You're sitting here there working. If you want to talk, just give me a call. And we'll have a chat, kind of thing. Talking about old
Fantastic.
Games Workshop days or whatever. And it's been really nice. So, and he said, "Hey, can you get me some nice candy or sweets or chocolate for my daughter in Japan? She's fascinated with Kit Kats and all the different flavors." And I said, "Yeah. No problem. I'll have a look for you, mate."
Fantastic. That sounds great. It's when I listened to you, you had loads of in common. You knew all those
Yeah.
places, and
Yeah.
you're old guard of
That's right.
Game Workshop guys, isn't it?
Yeah, because he knows Marcus Blackman. Marcus Blackman is my oldest best friend from Australia. We went to the UK together back in 94. And
Wow.
Marcus already worked at Games Workshop previous to that, and yeah, he worked with Paul there at the Oxford Street store. So, yeah, so he's got a lot of connections there, that and people I know like Greg as well. So it was really nice because I didn't really know that until I started talking to him, and he started talking about those kind of things. So it was lovely.
Brilliant.
Boy, that's a long time ago now. But yeah, mate, yeah, it's been really good. So we're all sort of connected to. In some respects, all us in our age group or whatever are all connected to Games Workshop through the 90s. Was that the same for you as well? But like, were you also a gamer through the Games Workshop hobby, or how did you find? Okay.
Well, yes, you have to say that, I think. But it came very late in my life, actually. I wasn't doing it like in 20s, like most of you guys. I mean, when the Games Workshop had that Lord of the Rings magazine, the gaming magazine, that was actually translated to Polish, and that's this. I remember buying a lot of that stuff, and I still have like some of the metal miniatures from it. But I was always fascinated by it, but I didn't understand it, and I didn't know how to do it. So I remember once we tried to play a game with my brother, and it was just like, role playing, I would say, like no structure in there or anything like that. Painting seemed very difficult to me. I just couldn't focus on doing that. So that was the first kind of thing. And then I am as new to the world of wargaming as the 8th edition,
Oh,
because
right.
this is when I was like, okay, let me do it. Let me try. Let me see what it's all about. Maybe it's gonna be something that I enjoy. And I did, but at the same time, I was like, I get that a buyer frenzy. I wanted Space Wolves, so I bought the whole army, and then I had like a army of gray, and that's actually frightened me. Like, in terms of paint, I have to paint all this, and I never could really, and then Kill Team came out, and that was very that was gaming for me. I was like, okay, I can do that. Paint 5 to 10 miniatures. Because I'm a very slow painter, do that. And then Necromunda came. The new Necromunda, I discovered new Necromunda. I think that was the other way around. But I was like, okay, that works. What about this game? And I just fell in love with that. And that was it. I painted my first gang, and then slowly, then I painted a bolt action army, and I only played two games for it. And when I painted bolt action army, because my group was playing actually, I was like, okay, I can paint armies now. So you know, I'm slowly I'm a baby when it comes to hobby, if you think about it. It's only a few years, really. When was the eighth edition? What year
That
was it?
was in 2010 or 2000. I don't really know. It
Here
was
you
around
go. I'm a
the time.
teenager. I'm a wargaming teenager
Yeah, mate, you are. Well, you're a very young man.
now.
That's cool. You've got a lot of gaming years ahead of you. That's excellent to hear.
Yes.
Okay, so that's interesting. So you did have your lead into, like, obviously Games Workshop was a big influencer on you because you saw Lord of the Rings, and obviously that's their biggest intellectual property they have, and they'll probably have it forever. Why not? Because it's going to get a lot of people in through their doors and, buying their miniatures and playing their games because of the Lord of the Rings license they have, which is great. I always look at, people who come through Games Workshop in two eras. It's either the 90s era where they came through the doors from Warhammer Fantasy Battle or HeroQuest. And then you had the Lord of the Rings era where they captured a lot of the other young people coming through through the films and then through the miniatures and stuff like that. So you're in the later part. Yeah, you're the
Yes,
second
100%.
crusade.
I think that eighth edition as well brought a lot of people to it. Certainly few people that I know also like kind of started. My brother as well, kind of joined at the same time. So I think Games Workshop is still, obviously, they are massive. They will be bringing new crowd, and then everybody will find a niche for themselves. For me, it's smaller games, and it's historical games more than anything. Like I don't play any Games Workshop games at the moment. The only one that I'm kind of constantly romancing with is Mordheim, and I do have a band painted for it, but I still didn't have a except I think I played it once or twice, that's it. So I do have that in my collection, and that waits to be rediscovered again. But other than that, I just moved to like more historical gaming. I'm sorry, I'm playing Star Wars Legion as well. I do enjoy that game too.
Okay, I've seen it. Obviously, it's another massive intellectual property will get people in, and I think that's, I don't know, maybe that's just my opinion, but I think now current trends within gaming is that they try to pick up a license from somewhere, like either DC Comics, Marvel, Star Wars, and then they, obviously the price are pretty high, but they get the people in, they get the younger
Yeah,
guys in. People who play
100%.
card games or they play role-playing games. Oh, look, there's a miniature game based on my favorite TV show or whatever, characters or whatever. And they get him in that way, which is a really good tactic.
Let me tell you, the amount of times I was looking at Batman's miniature game,
Right.
but I was like, you know what? No, let's just stay away, because there's a lot of great stuff out there right now. You can't have everything, and you especially time-wise, like I'm struggling to to paint miniatures for competitions, for tournaments and stuff. So adding something on top of that is not the greatest idea for me personally, especially that I'm still struggling with like speed. I'm a very slow painter. I'm trying my best with every miniature instead of trying shortcuts. I wouldn't call it New Year's resolution, but I do want to paint retinue, Viking retinue for Conquest.
Cool.
And I said that there's no way I will be able to paint it traditionally, so I'm just going to test army painters fast paints.
Sure.
speed paint, and paint them that way. Probably, some details I'm going to touch it with, if not, but I think the most of the work will be done with the speed paint.
I've got to admit, like the other day, I went to my local art store, and I actually went on behalf of Paul Higgs actually, because he was looking for that Procreate, that material, the putty he uses to create miniatures. And I said, oh, I'm sure they have it at this massive art store. They've got everything there. So I said, look, I'm going to go there today. I'll go and have a look for you, mate. So he said, okay. So I walked in there, and lo and behold, they put a Citadel color stand in there. So they put some, so Games Workshop's actually got in there, got their foot in there, and they put a nice Citadel color stand and some, they put some box sets of miniatures and stuff like that. Not interested in miniatures. I just want to look at the paints and stuff like that they've got there. And I picked up the contrast medium. It's a 24 mil pot, which is just like a whitish liquid that if you add it to your paint or ink, it turns it into a contrast medium, like it turns into a
Oh, is
contrast
it?
paint, which I thought was right quite fascinating. And I thought I wanted to give it a go. And I'm just like thinking, this is the best stuff ever. This is like liquid gold, this stuff.
No
I'm really
way.
surprised they actually released it, because if you think about it, the contrast paints cost like something like $10 here a pot. But you can buy for $10 a big pot of that contrast medium. You can add it to anything, and it becomes a contrast paint. It's absolutely beautiful. So I was always trying to say, no, it's just a fad. I don't want to get into this whole contrast speed paints thing. But now that I've tried it, I can see the real potential behind that, in terms of paint.
100%. I like the way I think about it right now, and by far, you are such an amazing painter, but I am trying my best with painting too, and I just see it as just another tool, isn't it?
It's another
Really.
tool. Yeah, it's another tool. And now I'm really interested in their other technical things that they have there, because they've got a name on it, but it doesn't tell you what it does. Like this Lamian, Lamian, or whatever it's called, but it doesn't say what it does. So I need to check what it does. So it's good, because now I'm more interested in, looking at different kinds of ways, or not sort of ways, but basically just adding things in that these more modernized formulas, additives, if you like, to your paints. I think that's a really nice idea. I've heard of, like, things that increase your flow and, thinning out your paint, that kind of stuff. But I think this contrast medium, just for me as a full-time miniature painter, I've got to work quite quickly. So to get things done each day, I've got to, I'm working a pretty tight schedule. So painting up some Gene Stealers the other day and some Gene Stealer hybrids. Yeah, for those flesh tones, for their armor and that kind of thing, that really helped me a lot in getting a lot of
Brilliant.
base coverage done really quickly. And so, yeah, there is a lot behind a lot of these. Obviously, these paint companies are making beautiful, paints and, how should I say it, sort of extensions to your paint that, can help you get the results quickly. And if my son was going to start miniature paintings, if he's going to get interested later on, I'm definitely going to get him into the speed paints or the contrast paints, because it's just an instant gratification. You just put the paint on, wow, it looks amazing, that effect, So that's what it is. It's really these paint effects they're adding now, which are really interesting.
I do like using some enamel washes, and then I use a lot of grime from AK Interactive. I paint base and then just slap that on and then remove it and then pick it up a little bit. I really like the feel of it, but that's again another tool in the arsenal, isn't it? It depends what you want to do with it, of course.
Yeah, it's incredible how many paint companies are out there at the moment. Because when I started in the hobby, there was Humbrol, Tamiya, which are terrible paints. I mean, they're still selling those things. But as a person who's just starting out in painting, they're just horrible things to use, because they're all, either, well, the Tamiya ones were water-based, but they were never really, beautiful things to work with. And the Humbrols, you needed like thinners and stuff like that. They're really smelly and just, But nowadays, you've got maybe 10 different companies you can go to buy paints from. which I think is just incredible now.
Yeah, I think it's a great time to be a teenager.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Gaming teenager.
It's wonderful. So that's good. Yeah, so pa yeah, painting is a real pleasure of mine, and I hope other people can enjoy painting. So if contrast paints or speed paints or whatever they're called gets you there, then that's great. That's one really good advantage I think people have now. Okay, so moving along, so you discovered ga gaming or Games Workshop through Lord of the Rings, and then you started playing 8th edition fantasy and Necromunda, and you're sort of looking at Mordheim, but then Baron's War came on your radar. How did that happen?
Well, quite accidentally, I guess, but it was a good coincidence. I saw the new release of Welsh miniatures, new Welsh miniatures from Futsor, and I was like, "Oh wow, this looks great!" And I sent it to my gaming group, who back then was called Bolt Action still,
All right. Okay.
because we kind of created the group for like a Christmas game, and I painted an army for that game specifically. And never played it until last Christmas, so I played it twice. But anyway, I've sent it over there, and Ian, who is actually the Mark's opponent on the battle report that we did, Ian said, "Oh, you know what? I know a guy who knows who speaks of this game, who knows this game, and I was chatting about it, and should I invite him to the group and stuff?" So we invited him to the group. We started to discuss. Before I knew, everybody was like saying, "Oh, what about this retinue?" They started to build a list. I said, "Oh, I'm not getting involved in another game." So, and then like 2 days later, everybody was already buying stuff. So that was it. And I had a game demo in Cardiff when Mark was here, and I played Templar Retinue, his Templar Retinue, and I was just hooked from the first moment. The game felt very flow, the flew it flew very well. I mean, there was it just felt natural, if that makes sense. It was clever, and it was clever and easy at the same time, if you know what I mean. The rule set, easy to pick up, but you could do a lot strategically. And obviously, I didn't know all that. I think I felt it after that first game, because I became a much better player with time, obviously. So I'm speaking from perspective of time, so kind of, but yeah, that was it, and I was hooked. I was hooked, and didn't look back. And playing ever since.
Brilliant.
I think after that first demo, Mark organized the first ever Baron's War tournament somewhere. It was Revolt, Sheffield, I think. And I bought the ticket without even having my retinue. Like, you know what I mean? I'm going for it.
Wow, nice.
So I was like,
Yeah.
just dropped in the ocean and learned how to swim, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Nice, mate. That's wonderful. So yeah, you have now, if people don't know you, and I discovered you through a YouTube channel that you have, that's pretty much dedicated to Baron's War. Would that be right to say?
I think you can say that. You can say that definitely the most stuff that is on the channel is related to it. But I also love Blood and Plunder game, and there will be stuff coming out for this as well. Absolutely, my two favorite games, Baron's War and Blood and Plunder, and without a shadow of a doubt. So definitely, most of the stuff will be related to these two games, for
Great.
sure.
Okay. Nice. Now, so for people who are wondering what Baron's War is, we're talking about Baron's War. What is Baron's War? But what is Baron's War?
First of all, Baron's War is great fun. It's a great game. Focusing on the first Baron's War conflict. Which is 2000, not 2000, 1215, 1216, if I remember correctly. 13th century anyway. To be honest with you, like, Baron's War is great in learning about history as well. Baron's War is just a very good rule set and time well spent with your friends and a lot of enjoyment of your purchasing toys. Baron's War is just like really fun game, really fun thing to do, and I would, I would say that whoever gets into it will find something for themselves. That's what I believe anyway. That's how I feel. It's just a great game.
Good. Okay, that's wonderful. That's a good preset to introduce people to the game. Yeah, so it's a historical game. It's not a fantasy game. It's based in history, as Bart was alluding to, and it's set, yeah, during the First Baron's War. So you build a retinue, which is probably about 15 to 20 guys, maybe. So it's a
Yeah, well,
skirmish level game.
I mean, you do, if you you can play bigger battles as well. It depends how you feel. It's great for people who are scared by the big battle games. So you have, like you said, it can be anything between 20, 30 miniatures. It's a good number. Units of eight, maybe 10 miniatures. It's a game that have you're gonna have to cut this out. I'm trying to find the words, but they don't come. I basically it's a skirmish game, and players alternate activations. Each group have one activation per turn, unless they are command groups. They can have either three or two. It's a fast-paced game for sure, with a lot of detail put in rules. A game that also requires a lot of terrain. Because loads of rules, line of sight, and so on are kind of used better if there's loads of terrain on the table. You can hide from troops, from crossbows and stuff that are very powerful otherwise. So it's like almost like hide and seek type of game, and you just have to, better your opponent. I do enjoy that stuff for sure.
A mate of mine in America just ordered Baron's War in his first retinue, thanks to the interview with Paul Hicks. So that's good. I've got another Baron's War player.
Yes, I'm happy to hear that. I am actually, like, in terms of channel Raymuff Studio and Baron's War, it just I'm glad we did it when we did it, because it seems like a lot of people needed that. Like, the comments that people actually mention, oh, I was on the edge with that game, or blah blah blah. The content is actually like very useful, and that's a really nice, I don't know if it's a surprise, but definitely, like, it's good to see that the game is gaining momentum. And it seems like ever since, like, we did these videos with Mark, it's like so much content about Baron's War comes out on
Oh,
YouTube
they're brilliant, mate.
suddenly. It's just like,
Yeah, I'm so glad you did those because I was waiting for someone to make a video based on how to play the game. Now, I've never played Baron's War, and people are saying, Josh, why are you talking about Baron's War so much? Because you've even never actually played it. And I've just recently got my first miniatures and painted them, and I love them because I've been dreaming about that, just looking at those images. The game itself looks interesting to me, and I know it's a good game.
It
The miniatures were just beautiful, and I just had to have them. I said to Paul, I just need those miniatures, mate. I just need to paint those figures just to get out of my system. And I'm really glad I did because I'm really, really happy with the quality. They're like old school miniatures, but really finely detailed, nice scale, great
You've
theme.
done such a great work with it. When you post those pictures, I was like, oh, wow, okay. You know what I mean? You know, when we speak about the HMV bench or however it's called, I'm sorry if I take the name wrong. But when I saw your stuff, I was like, wow, man. It's like, it's different style, but in quality, there's like, it's the same, man. Like, you just need to photograph them in a specific way.
I need your talents, man. I need your talents,
I
bud.
listened. When I looked at them, I was like, this is exactly what I always tried to do with my Templars, and I never did. So I was like, wow, this stuff looks good. This
It
stuff
does
looks
look good.
good.
I
So
think,
they
and
look fantastic.
I said to Paul, you can create these beautiful models, but unless they're painted in a way that shows people how beautiful these models are, it's really important. And that person, Daniel Wegman, I think his name is, the person responsible for those really beautiful images on their websites and in their books and stuff like that. Yeah, that, like I said to you, that got me into the game. And I said to Paul the same, that got me, that note made me notice the game a lot more because of the presentation and looking at these beautiful models, how they're painted and in modern sort of styles. Historical gaming for me has always lacked in a lot of ways because of presentation. The models look pretty, they weren't painted so well, and maybe the theme was not really my cup of tea. I'm not a big World War II guy. It's probably too close in history. My grandparents were involved in the World War II in Holland, so it doesn't really give a good feeling to me, I don't think, maybe. And the Barons War is it, and anything to do with medieval combat or medieval history is so far back in the past, it's almost has a mystique about it. Like, we only know these because of these records, and it has this. And you think about a lot of fantasy games where it's all centered around medieval times. I love the look of the terrain. I love the look of the boards because it reflects Warhammer, and Warhammer basically is just medieval combat with magic, in a lot of sense. It's just that's what fantasy is in generally. So Bretonians, for example, are basically just knights of medieval times, but they have sorcerers and that kind of thing, and dragons and pegasi or whatever. So that instantly brought me into Barons War because I just think, okay, well, that's basically Warhammer, but in a historical sense. It got me into the history too. It got me interested in the history. I thought, wow, okay, I really want to know about this. And then when I looked at all the heraldry, the color schemes, the freedom of all that, it looks so cool. The all the different colors of all the different, I suppose, barons have their own coat of arms, and that would carry on through the troops. But then you don't have to be restricted by that. You could have one retinue painted in a certain way with various different color schemes and coat of arms, and another one in a different one. So yeah, that gave a lot of interesting painting options, I think, for me as well. But then I just looked at those military knights, and I was like, okay, that's it. I'm sold on this whole crusader thing. Kingdom of Heaven, the movie, loved it. And these miniatures just call out to me, saying, "Yes, we've got to play this. We've got to get this on the table. We've got to make a desert table, palm trees." The Hospitaller Fort that they released for the Kickstarter is an amazing piece of kit.
Fantastic.
So
I
yeah.
actually filmed. I filmed building it. Now it's time to paint it. So when it's all done, I think I'm gonna do maybe not. Not a tutorial. I'm not doing stuff like this, but kind of update on how I felt about it and stuff, because the kit is just, I'm telling you, it's phenomenal. The thing presents itself so well, and it's wow.
Yep.
Wow, when you have a chance, you have to get it. I'm telling you, it's really nice. It's really nice, and size-wise as well, it's not too big, but it does have a presence on the table very nicely. Everything works together beautifully, like just great stuff, really good stuff. And from what Andy was saying, I think they will produce more, and I really hope that some of it's going to be for Ultramar as well.
Yes, it sounds like there's a lot more planned. It's not like just this is it And because there's a different theaters as well. You've got like Death and Taxes, which is basically Robin Hood in Sherwood Forest,
That's
which
where
is
the first Templar retinue, actually, first Templar's rules are from. But like when I was getting into Baron's War, you know, the Outremer Kickstarter was very close to being fulfilled. So I lived with Outremer. I just want I was obsessed with Outremer. I was looking for everything, but like books about it, read about it. Like, you know, my history. I'm by no means an expert in medieval history, but I know so much more than I knew last you know than I knew last year. It's just incredible how so much you can have so much fun learning. You know what I mean? There's so many great strategies there for education, you know, children, like to teach children the history. There's so many options out there, and we just like, you know, doing all. Anyway, let's not get into it. It's fantastic.
But
It's fantastic.
I should point out that the author in their book, how you're going to pronounce
Yep.
it, you said it really nicely, actually. It actually has a lot of historical notes in it. There's a lot of footnotes about history in it, and talks about
That
the
Benedict
First
Coffin.
Crusade, and I think the Second Crusade, and the Third Crusade. And it talks about the most, obviously influential characters, part of those conquests. And then it goes into the retinues, and you can have three different styles of retinue. And there you can go like completely Templar military, or you could go with the Frankish forces, or I think there was another one. Because
Crusading France.
that's right. And you can talk about the there's like settled Franks, or there's crusading Franks, and then you've got the Islamic forces as well that comprise that
But
entire book.
what is beautiful in Outremer actually is like you can mix and match. You can really do what you want. But because each of these specific types of retinues allow you to use troops from the other group, so you can have like if you use settled Franks retinue, you can use 40% of you know military orders in there as well. So it really gives you opportunity to build retinue you really want, you're passionate about. So what I am very slowly building right now is military order retinue, and I aim to have all four military orders there that are listed with different weapon choices, you know. So I'm building that slowly, but I'm also looking at settled France because I was reading a little bit about Polish presence in Crusades, and you know, there's very little known, but there's enough to, like you said before, you know, use your imagination and create stories based on this like one sentence written in the 13th century, you know what I mean? Or that nameless knight that, you know, it just opens so much. And then you can, you know, look at coats of arms like from the time, like, okay, this guy's was from Silesia. I can't even say Śląsk in English, but you can take stuff from there and use it in your, you know, in your retinue because nothing stops you from it, and it's as historical as it can be because there's just not much information about it. And that's what I love about this game. It gives you freedom and you really learn history. And then when you finally get that retinue and it's time to play, the game is just, oh my God, cherry on the cake. You know what I mean? It is so well written and it's so much fun. It's great. Seriously, like
No, let's talk about the gameplay, because you've got a game report there with Mark Vance and another Welsh gentleman there. Sorry, I forgot his name, but they're
Ian.
Ian.
Ian Jones.
So Ian playing the Welsh and Mark's playing the English, I think, in that one.
Yes.
Now, one thing I'll say about it, because I was really interested and keen to see a battle report of Baron's War, one thing I'll note about it, and I think you touched on it before, it's very intuitive. So you're not flipping through books. It's just like you just filmed it and you didn't stop. Like you just filmed everything and you didn't pause or you didn't edit it or anything like that. It's just like one continuous stream from turn to turn. So that
This
was
is the
very interesting.
This is the biggest compliment to my editing I've ever had in my life.
We did a fantastic job. We had like
No,
lots of close-ups
we
and
did
pictures and stuff.
two or three times pose, but very shortly. But yes, once you play this game a few times, you don't really you will look into rules, obviously, every now and then just to confirm certain things. But it flows very well. It flows very well. It is one thing that have to be said. It might be slightly tricky at the beginning. The setup of the book at times can be like, you have to look for stuff, and until you get to know the book, it may be tricky at the beginning. But as soon as you flip that, and you just
That's right.
beautiful, beautiful experience.
So it,
Like,
there's
I actually, the last game of the tournament that I play against some Bliss, that was just it was just incredible. We were just like, I that was the shortest game, but also like the fastest game I ever had. Because if you have players that kind of played enough, you just keep going, and he'll remind you the rule. You'll remind him the
that's
rule,
right.
and together it just like it was flawless. The probably one of the most enjoyable games I had.
Oh, that's wonderful, man. That's great. Now, it's a D10 system too, D10 based system.
Yes,
D6 is
yes.
for charging, and I don't think you want to be charged by war horses anytime soon, because if a war horse, if your commander is based on a war horse or you have a war horse unit in the game, they look just absolutely devastating, which reflects what
Unless
they did. You know, that it's not like Warhammer where they just hit a solid brick wall and then, you know, that's it. These will just go straight through you. You know, they're just wonderful. So I love seeing how
unless the unit is equipped in bills, because they can cause two wounds, and the strength of war horses is actually that they need to be wounded twice in order to get the casualty.
that's right.
So that unless the opponent have war horses, and that happened at the tournament as well. I had four war horses and the guy had five war horses, and I was
Oh.
like, oh my God, what is going on here? I
Just yeah.
certainly feel fragile and stuff.
But then there's
So
certain counters, like you've got archers, you've got crossbowmen, which can be really quite potent and deadly against cavalry as well. So you've got good counters in the
anything in
game.
mail.
Basically.
Anything in mail.
Yeah.
And anything in short range specifically. But speaking of war horses, I think that's like my favorite rule of the game is related to them, because like you said, when war horses charge you, let's say they win the battle, the skirmish, the defending group is being pushed off, and then the horses overcharge. And they can, while they overcharge, then they can hit another unit,
Yeah.
and it can be funny. But when they overcharge, they can leave the table as well, and that will cause losing the units. If that was your commander and you didn't have another one,
It's
that can
game over.
cause you a game. So it's beautiful. And I think another very, very strong part, very strong thing in rules is that no matter what you bring to the table, there's something you can counter it with.
Exactly.
Like, you always can find a way to, you always can find a way to defeat the odds, if you know what I mean. And that's probably what's beautiful about it.
There's a lot of flexibility too, so you can arm your troops individually, and you can pay for abilities as well. So you've got that added little sweetener there. So every single time you play, you could play differently. So you could have one retinue of men at arms, which have inherent abilities, and then you could pay for extra abilities for them. Likewise for your cavalry, likewise for your levy troops or your archers, whatever they might be. So you've got each. It's not like a true historical game where they're just set in stone and you can't change them at all. Gives a lot of flexibility to your units and the way you want to play. So I find that really, really interesting as well. And again,
Yeah,
I must say I've
personally.
not played Baron's War, but I can see just going through the rule book that it's a really interesting looking game, and that's something that I would. It's more of a modernized historical game. Let's put it that way. It's not
I believe.
DBM or these kind of old fluffy wuffy type games where they're just really boring and intricate
No.
movements and all that kind of stuff. It's all pre-measured. You can pre-measure everything, which is excellent. I think that's a really good way of doing it. It makes it open to play remotely too. So we could play a game through Discord or through Zoom or whatever. And you can measure out and say, okay, Josh, you're going to move against, yeah, I'm going to move against there. And I just roll the dice. And, it sort of opens up for that kind of thing as well, because it's only a small model count.
Yeah, I found that interesting because I've seen you mention it on social media here and there, and I think Nick mentioned it as well, the medieval wargamer. I'm actually intrigued to see how that works.
Better
You know what
set it
I
up,
mean? So
mate. Let's set it up. Yeah.
you
Because
no
I'm not going to Wales anytime soon, and you're
problem.
probably
So
not
what
coming
do I need? Two retinues, yeah? Yeah.
just need two retinues, two 500-point retinues, and away you go. Another thing I'll say about that's another great strength about the Barons War is that they actually have an online army builder, and this
Yes.
is a big thing. So people who want to just tinker around the rules and just have a look at retinues, how to build them, that kind of thing, you can go to warhost.com. And you can, there's got like downloadable assets there, like STLs for terrain. And you've got the army builder, which is just now in its sort of basic form, just covering the Barons War book and the retinues covered in there. But I know that the other Death and Taxes, Conquest, and Outremer will come out at some point in the future too. So you can have, in particular, sort of retinues to build those online as well. And you can print out your lists and use those, which is really handy. So that's another great strength that they've got there already, another good asset.
Yes, I think it's warhost dot online, actually, and yeah, I just recorded in this morning. I've recorded a very short video
Yes.
about how to use it. It was more like showing an example of my first retinue that I built on that, and how, because I built my first retinue and now I just tweak it for different, use different units for various things. So I did something like that, explain certain things. Like, for example, one thing about range weapons is like it only shows like short range over there, like what you need to roll for short range, and just for people to remember that if they shoot from the long range, they have to add one on top of that. So I explained those little bits and pieces over there and showed really how easy it is. And you can really play with it. Like, nothing stops you. You just update the numbers, sorry, the points you want to play the game with, you want to build your retinue for, and then you just go ahead. And it will tell you actually if you crossed, if you have, I think the rule is that your command groups cannot be more than 50% of your retinue. And as soon as you go across, you will have message, okay, you're command groups are more than 50%. So it's very useful, very helpful in that way, for sure.
And you've got to have at least 10% green troops. So totally
Yes.
inexperienced, like
Yes.
farmers with with clubs and that kind of thing. So yeah.
The way I build my retinue, like I didn't really. I think what's really got me into that gaming is like storytelling, because I'm kind of storyteller in many, many ways, and I love stories. And I didn't go to the book. I said, "Oh, let me build the greatest army or retinue I can muster from this." No, I just was, "Oh, I want Templars. I really want Templars. I want they are massive, great knights. Let me get like four war horses." And then I need some like foot knights as well, and I made a group of foot knights. And then I was like, okay, I need some missile weapons, so get some and the rest of my retinue are monks. So I have like literally I have two strong groups. a veteran commander on his war horses, who came from Outremer on a mission, through Europe. They are veteran because they not only fought in Outremer, but during the mission, they had their skirmishes. They are veterans. The Foot Knights are local Templar Knights, in England. You know what I mean? They are just regular. They experienced, they've seen conflict, but they didn't have that journey. They haven't been in Outremer. They are not as experienced. And then I have just like green monks who are like, some local priests or whatnot. And that it somehow I managed to work quite well. I mean, play quite well with that retinue. Like, it works very well. That power, you have a little bit of power and then you're just surrounded by crowd, and
Right.
it seems to work. It's great for getting I'm losing the words. Come on, objectives. Here we go. It's very great to hold objectives if you need to. It's very good to go and grab objective if you need to. Because what I like about Baron's War, it's not just I don't like
Yeah, I imagine.
kill games. I like specific scenarios, and that brings joy to me. You have to think, yes, your opponent may like almost destroyed your retinue, but you hold what is the most important in that scenario, and that's your aim, not to kill them.
No.
You just want to, and that's what I love about it. You have that specific focus. Otherwise, it would just get very boring to me very quickly, I think.
Yeah, that's really important to me too. And that's another thing I like about Test of Honor. It's got like these linked scenarios in there. So once if when you play the first one, it has consequences for the second one, and it has consequences for the third one, and it sort of goes along like that. And it's got a nice little footnote of the background of the story, and it gives you sort of this immersive feeling that that you're actually involved in something and it actually matters. And I think Baron's War does the same thing. It gives you these different scenarios, maybe not linked, but on that warhost .com site, I'll leave a link in the show notes for people to access that website because I might be saying it wrong, but in there they've got like downloadable campaigns. So you've got specific scenarios or campaign games you can download and play. So there's lots of options here. It's not just set in one little shoebox. It's got quite a lot of different,
I think
branches
of that.
leading out into different areas and different theaters and that kind of thing as well. So there's a lot to take in there. It's not just knights, crusading out in the Middle East. It could be your merry men with Robin Hood fighting off the knights in the forests of Nottingham, or it could be you're just a baron fighting another baron, in a certain type of
Cool.
scenario. So there's lots to like, basically. It's got something for everybody there.
And if I'm honest with you, like that Robin Hood, that was a very clever move on the Futsal side, because like the going back to that moment where Ian started to talk about Mark and everything, and we started to look on the website, and I was like, oh, and there's little Robin Hood too. In the end, I never get it, but I was like, oh man, you know what I mean? And then some of our friends, John, who actually I will be doing a video for another game as well, because he just produced a fun Stormship. Storm, no, Stormship Troopers. Is that how the what's the movie called?
Starship Troopers, I think.
Starship Troopers. Here we go. He created 6mm game and it looks beautiful. And I will be filming that for the channel as well on Saturday. And he got into Baron's War as well. And he got the Merry Men. And he actually won the first Battle of Cardiff with them. So, like the little tournament that I organized in Cardiff. So, Robin Hood is definitely a clever move from the company.
It's a beautiful, like they've got an army deal on futsalminiature.com website. And I was so tempted to get that because it's like only $100 and you get basically a huge 500 point retinue. You get the books for free. because you get the Death and Taxes book, and then you get the PDF for Baron's War. I mean, it's really good. Like, it's really good
It
value,
is
and the quality of the sculpts are
100%.
beautiful, you know. And yeah, so you can find some
Any of them of these boxes that they actually have online are definitely worth worth getting. Like you know, I just had like the box of, well, I did kind of win it, but we are speaking about what's inside. I just got the Vikings. I thought because I would like to get into Conquest, and it's just like the stuff that is in that box. That's it's like £50 in, you know, in the UK's money, or like, you know, some are 60 or stuff. There are different things that you can choose, and it's definitely it's enough to start playing, and very, very good, 100%.
Yep. So they
Good
offer some really
stuff.
good deals there, and a lot of the deals have either books in physical form or PDF form.
Yeah.
So you can get in there quite easily without a huge expense and out huge outlay, especially if you look at the new old world prices. I mean, that's enough to turn anybody off wargaming, I think. Books
100%.
and the miniatures are. So you've got some really
100%.
good quality old school miniatures, all metal. And yeah, it's a good product. I mean, that's the only reason why I'm sort of harping on about it. And I'm sure some people out in the Cranic Command think I'm going completely crazy. Maybe because I'm turning 50 this year, and I'm sort of looking more to a historical gaming. I'm getting older now. Maybe that's why. So I'm discovering these little gems from, and Futsal is a small operation. It's a small company, and I really urge people to go and check out your interview you did with Andy, talking very humbly about his experiences forming. Well, in partnership with Futsal and the difficulties they had to overcome and the expense it cost, the enormous amount of money it cost to make games, to make these miniatures, to produce something so beautiful like this. It's not free. It comes at a huge amount of expense and a big risk,
Hundred percent.
so he was very candid in his interview about talking about that and his experiences with it.
I think one the massive strength and something that really that I really enjoy about Futsal is how community driven company it is. I think I don't think I witnessed anything like that in gaming. Of course, I'm a gaming teenager, but you know what I mean. You know, they are open, they are always there to answer questions, and you know, even the tournaments, like they come to tournaments. I've done a tournament at BritCon in Nottingham actually last August for them, and spent a great evening with them, like, you know, just being out having food and just chatting about everything, and how much they supported the tournament with the prizes they brought in. It was just like, I mean, I had no words. I still have no words. Just really great community driven company and really nice guys, seriously. So yeah, definitely worth looking into it and just like, you know, get involved, because it's not only the amazing quality product, but there are also great people behind it for sure.
Absolutely. And I really want to support Futsal because of that reason. They're really good guys, and I really want to see them succeed because I know they don't get a lot of sorry, exposure online and social media platforms. I've noticed on Instagram they get very little likes or very little, you just need more eyes on their product, more people looking at this stuff, and then of course people playing the games. If people see them playing the games in the stores like they do in your store in Wales, I think at Firestorm you guys play a lot there. People
Firestorm and Antics as well. So
Antics.
there are two stores that we, yeah.
That's a big motivator for people. If they see people playing it, they get engaged with it, they find out what it's all about, and they go, oh, cool, I'll get a retinue then. I'll see you next weekend and have a game with you. You know what I mean? So and then your YouTube is a big help, and I hope at some point in the future, long in the future, I suppose, me getting my stuff together and actually getting a game and filming it on the Crown of Command channel, which would be really exciting. But in the meantime, I can interview you
Great.
guys talking about it and getting me more motivated and hopefully inspiring other people in our community to sort of have a look at it and picking up their own starter set and start getting painting and start getting playing.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. That would be great. We actually we are meeting now on Wednesday with Mark and Ian. So we're gonna film a battle report and more introduction to Baron's War videos as well. So there's definitely more content coming for the game. And I think with we're gonna do 700 points continuation of battle reports. So again, the same retinue commanders will face off, but we're gonna play 700 points game now instead of 500 to see how because 700 points, 500 points is great. This is the first game of my retinue that I played was 500 points actually with Ian at his place, just because you have to paint all stuff. You have to, so 500 is great introduction, but the game feels amazingly at 700, 750 points, and that's I would say that this is the standard we kind of play now, and 700 seems to be standard for the tournaments that are being organized. But yeah. And with Ultramar, actually, that 700 points doesn't necessarily gives you more miniatures. Your miniatures kind of can be more expensive if point wise. So
Yeah, we
yeah,
should upgrade.
definitely more content. Definitely
Yes.
more content coming. And we're gonna do Ultramar soon as well.
Oh, okay. I look forward to that because that's really my theater of passion at the moment.
There, there's there are some things planned for Ultramar that we can't talk about
Oh, I
yet,
can't talk about it yet. Wow. Okay. All right. I'm very excited then. Okay.
but
Wonderful.
definitely some battle reports coming from
Excellent.
that.
Excellent. No, I'm really looking forward to seeing you a nice desert table with all the with the fortification, the hospital on there, and the palm trees.
Yes, yes,
Yeah, no, that's my dream. That's my sort of layout. I'm going to try to work towards this year. Everything going well, and then getting my good friend Stephen up here to play out the scenarios because he's got a. I painted a massive saga army for him of all the
All
Islam
right.
forces. So he's got all the miniatures basically.
Brilliant.
For that
Yeah, here
side,
we
I
go.
just need to concentrate on my Crusader army, and then way to go. So hopefully, I'll get
Well, your
here.
Crusader army will look phenomenal. That's one thing that I know already after seeing this for first four miniatures.
Well,
Just brilliant stuff.
I'll work on a painting video for doing the military order commander, the foot soldier guy. So I'll release that on my channel at some point, hopefully towards the end of this month. I'll have that up,
Yeah.
and so people can see how I'm painting them, and
I
maybe.
will. I will try to do my best to imitate your
Good,
style.
good. I hope so, mate. Yeah, I'm honestly, because the beauty of it, and I'll. The beauty of painting those miniatures because of the scale, because of the size, and of course I'm painting them all black because they're hospital knights. Yeah, so it's kind of easy for me, so I can get them done pretty quickly because it's really just black, and then for their cloth, their cloaks and that kind of thing, silver for their weapons and armor, and then just a bit of brown for their belts and that kind of thing, and that's really it, and the shields and stuff like that. So it's not an enormous
Yeah,
task, you know.
I think what brings yours pops out is like you work a little bit gently on edge highlights. You I can see the mid-tones there, and then you have a highlight much brighter, and I think that's the strength of it, that contrast actually pops them out. Where when I paint mine, I use much darker colors to bring it up a little bit. So if you look closer, you kind of see what's going on there, but from the distance you don't have it, and yours are just like popping out. And that's, I think, that may be something I need to try. So I'm waiting for that
Well, it'll be
video
coming soon, mate, for sure. For yourself and anybody else who's interested, and I
of
hope then they can see what I'm doing with the Baron's War miniatures, and there'll be more to come and more content to come. So as I really feel passionate about this game and the miniature
yours.
line, and I think people should really give it a go and hopefully jump on board with us. Okay, guys. So,
100%.
but it's been a wonderful A wonderful chance to ch catch up with you now and to talk with you. And I hope we can bring you back with Mark at some point in the future
100%.
to talk about how you're going with your YouTube channel. Now, your YouTube channel is called Wry Mouth, Weird
Yes.
Mouth.
Yes. It's actually Bolesław Krzywousty. It is Rymow. It's the name of one of Polish kings from medieval times, and that's where that comes from.
That's where it
It
comes
is
from.
English version of. I believe. I think Rymow is much easier to say than Krzywousty, so I thought I'll just call it like with the English meaning
Okay, great. Okay,
of
that's nice. It's
the
got a bit of history there too in the name. That's nice. That's wonderful. I
poem.
thought it was the township you lived in or something in Wales. So,
No,
okay, great.
no.
So yeah, I'll leave links for your YouTube channel. I'll leave links for Futsal Miniatures and their Warhost website, so people can get in touch with that, and then they can make up their own minds and have a look. Even pick up the rule book as a PDF just to look through it and just check it out. You know, it's not very
100%.
expensive. So, but for now, mate, I'll let you go. You're probably very tired and want to go back to bed. So thanks again. Or paint your miniatures, mate. That's it. You need to paint your miniatures.
I think it's late for
Like...
that. But yeah, nice one. Great to talk to you. Thanks for inviting me.
My pleasure, Bart. Take care, mate. Thank you.
Ta-da.